Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Friday, y'all. We made it through the week. Congratulations to you and yours. But the Steelers and the rest of the NFL are right and focused for this NFL scouting combine. It started yesterday. It continues today. It'll continue throughout Sunday. Yesterday was the quarterbacks, receivers, and tight ends. We'll be getting to that a little bit in this show, actually quite a bit. And then we'll also be previewing what you just ways that can help you watch it as a fan. This is the first year the scouting combine is being recorded and put out for national television in prime time. So this is going to be a different opportunity for fans to follow along live as they happen. People, you can see 40-yard dash times, all the different drills, and keep up with the excitement that is the traditional NFL scouting combine, with running backs, offensive linemen, and special teamers set to come up today. We're going to go over maybe some players that you can look at, but in general, what are some typical do's and don'ts of watching the NFL combine? Along with that, got some news updates for the Pittsburgh Steelers, one revolving their upcoming schedule this season, two, potentially some changes in how they may approach this offseason based off of who they might be signing as this offseason kicks off thanks to the upcoming CBA situation. Lots to talk about. Let's get into it. Who KB? Well, there's a lot going on. I know we've been keeping up with this the CBA situation. A lot of big-name players have come out against it, but there's also now been developments with the head of the union, DeMaurice Smith, coming out and saying that he expects that the players are going to agree to it soon. And there's a lot of stuff going on here that suggests that this isn't going to get to a bad point. Now there's the public statements and the enthusiasm we've seen from certain players and big name guys that suggest that maybe this won't be coming to a head. Maybe this will be this struggle will continue. It's my opinion that the NFL players, there's no reason that they should rush this. They should take their time, figure out what they want to do, and go from there. However, it seems like the NFL is kind of pushing their hand really well, and the NFL Players Association is going to comply. But with that, there might be some changes that come also that the Steelers may welcome if they get this going. For one, you're looking at a situation where, like I spoke about yesterday with the potential of keeping Hargrave and Dupree, the Steelers getting an increase in cap space along with the rest of the NFL. Approximately $30 million has been the estimate. We don't know how much that'll be and how much of that will go to current players that are under contract. However, there's also now potential with the proposed CBA to increase a team's roster size from 53 to 55 players. That means that maybe you're talking about keeping a few more guys on board. We've always been sort of talking about the Steelers' offensive line this offseason and how it needs to look moving forward, you know, with Ben Roethlisberger coming back, with them needing a strong offensive line, the potential of moving Matt Filer to guard and expecting either Zach Banner or Chuks Okorafor stepping up in the right tackle spot. But, you know, we all expected Ramon Foster to be headed out. But one thing that I made note of back about a month ago was that even as he was set to become an unrestricted free agent, B.J. Finney's been hanging around the Steelers facility, just working out. And during the offseason, like, he still works there. Now, B.J. Finney's a known, it's widely known. B.J. Finney's family is full of Steelers fans. He said he was ecstatic when they picked him after the draft as he was an undrafted free agent. And that this was a dream come true for him. I'm sure he would love to do anything he could to stay with the organization. Well, Dale Lally's talking about with this new CBA and the money coming up and the extra spot on the roster that B.J. Finney might just be the guy that they want to keep around. If they can afford to keep him, as he's an unrestricted free agent, he could potentially command some serious money. But you know, if they're able to let go of Ramon Foster and make a few other moves, you could be looking at B.J. Finney being kept around and maybe even playing left guard. That's where he's played for the Steelers for quite some time. He's a backup center, but he's also been able to play left and right guard for the Steelers. could be a major benefit for the team. And that would also help them kind of deal with what's been going on with their offensive line, give them some mobility. And if B.J. Finney goes to guard, it may push the Steelers' hand to draft a center. And there's a few centers that may be able to fall to them in the middle rounds that they could at least call up and give them a shot in this upcoming season if it's an emergency. Maurkice Pouncey does have an injury history, so they do have to kind of keep that in mind with this. But it's very interesting about B.J. Finney with how this could play out in him ending up staying with the Steelers and them keeping a lot of players that we didn't think they even have a chance to keep going into this offseason, knowing what the numbers were. So that's kind of interesting. And I think that when you look at the constructs of the team, you do think that they're going to address the offensive line at least a little bit in this draft. I mean, personally, I think that that's the biggest need that they have overall, because they need to replenish this offensive line for whenever Ben Roethlisberger, one for Ben Roethlisberger, but also for whenever Ben Roethlisberger retires, so that they can have a strong ground game. But my biggest concern is that there are, again, and I've made this point several times now, there are about 13 or 14 teams ahead of them in this draft that could desperately use an offensive lineman with either their first round or their second round picks. And it's tough to say that, hey, we're going to draft the 15th best lineman when you've got other positions where you may have the second or third or even fourth best player of those positions that could be game changers. And if you're passing them over for what could turn out to be an average player, that's just a huge mistake. And I know a lot of people are emphatic about, well, you don't need this position or you don't need that position. The question isn't about whether or not you need it. Do you need an average player on your roster is the real question. Now, again, I think if one of those players falls to them, you know, Lloyd Cushenberry is supposed to be talking with the Steelers. He's LSU center. I think that would be a heck of a get. I like Lloyd Cushenberry. I also like his teammate Damian Lewis. He's a guard. I think that he would go more towards the middle rounds, so they wouldn't have to jump out of their way for him. But certainly, I think that there's some moves that can be made here. If B.J. Finney sticks around, that's a huge win for the Steelers, because he's not just the guard. He's going to be Pouncey's backup center, or you get a Lloyd Cushenberry, and then he helps with that. The thing is also that the Steelers, they want athletic interior offensive linemen, because there's some guys that are mullets. And a perfect example is if you compare Maurkice Pouncey to like a Damian Lewis. Damian Lewis is a big guy. He's a mauler. He mows people out of his way, but he's not a guy that's going to get out in space and block for you. And that's something that the Steelers use a lot of. If you look at how they use Pouncey and DeCastro and Finney, they even use their tackles somewhat like this. Just pull them, go out and lead block, and let them pick up that momentum and use their size to their advantage. If a player can do that, they'll earn a spot with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So this is a bit of a turn of events here with the potential of B.J. Finney actually having a chance to come back. Will he come back? You know, you got to think. You know, this is one of those times it could be a hometown discount. But, you know, the Steelers have seen plenty of offensive linemen of theirs that were either backups or just on the fringe that got big money. I mean, Kelvin Beachum years ago, I think he went to the Jets and the Jaguars, and he got paid, but he was never the same as he was for the Steelers. The same thing just happened with Chris Hubbard a couple years ago. He was their sixth offensive lineman they were bringing in on those Todd Haley extra lineman plays for the run game, and he did really well in that role for the Steelers and got paid big money by the Browns to come join them, and that didn't work out. So who knows? Maybe this is another case where they're going to be able to avoid that, because if B.J. Finney doesn't want that big money, and a lot of times someone does offer that kind of big money to free agent linemen with experience, you know, if he turns that kind of money down and comes back to the Steelers, would be a huge win, I think, for their depth and maybe even their starting lineup if they want him to be the left guard. All right, going to take a quick break. Got a new announcement, too, on the Steelers' upcoming schedule. Get right into that after this. All right, we're back. I am going to announce some, I guess, kind of breaking news here that Dale Lally got for us in his Friday Insider column. Another reason you should subscribe to DKPittsburghSports.com, because this is where we get the breaking stories. Dale Lally's been with the team for better part of 2 decades, going on 3 decades. Wow, he's been there a while. But anyways, he's been there for a long time. He's developed really good sources. He knows who to talk to on the team, and he's really good at this. I learned a lot from the guy, and he kind of announced something that, you know, we kind of thought was going to happen, but now he's saying that it's you know, not official, but it's the Steelers have been given word from the NFL that they are definitely going to be playing in this year's Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio, on August 6th. So if you're a Steelers fan out there and you were thinking about attending the Hall of Fame, you know, ceremonies on that weekend, this is just a little bit more incentive for you to get out there and start planning ahead and book some travels for the Hall of Fame game. Again, that's the weekend of August 6th. Now, what does Dale base this on? He has some sources that are saying the Steelers have been told they're already going to be playing in the Hall of Fame game. We do know that several Steelers are making into the Hall of Fame, including Troy Polamalu, Bill Cowher, Donnie Schell. This is a chance for the NFL to celebrate a lot of things. They just had their 100th year anniversary, where they were talking about the 100, and they have this centennial class in. However, I think it's important to look at the Hall of Fame game and remember that there's two different classes that we're talking about here. One class is Troy Polamalu. He's the regular Hall of Fame class. He will be in on that weekend. The other class, the centennial class, that includes Donnie Schell and I believe Bill Cowher, that's going to be in September or October. That's going to be months after this actually happens. So the this Hall of Fame game is going to be on the weekend of Troy Polamalu. Still, huge thing to celebrate. Troy Polamalu, the best safety the team has ever had, maybe the best playmaker off the ball the team has ever had. You know, you could debate Jack Lambert, Jack Ham, Mel Blunt. They have a lot in that company, but he's, you know, one of the greatest players of all time, one of the greatest safeties of all time, and in as a first ballot Hall of Famer. And now you can combine that with knowing that the Steelers will play the Hall of Fame game. Now the thing is that the NFL hasn't announced this yet for a couple reasons. One, they don't know who they want the Steelers to play just yet. I'm sure they're looking at who could draw the best ratings. There were I did some checking. There were 6.7 million people watched last year's Hall of Fame game, which is insane. It's a game that doesn't include many starters, if any starters. And, you know, everyone knows it's going to be bad football. It's just kind of like this celebration that, hey, everyone's just happy that the NFL is back and we're about to see football on our TV screens much more regularly. You know, this is a chance for the Steelers to kind of get out there. Also, it's very interesting because of where we're at with the CBA. You know, I was just talking about in the last segment how, you know, the players may, you know, rosters may go up by 2 spots. With the proposed CBA, you're looking at an expansion of the regular season from 16 to 17 games, but you're also looking at a decrease in the preseason from 4 games to 3. So if the Steelers get this Hall of Fame game, normally that would have put them at 5 preseason games. Now, I guess have the official announcement. I guess this would count as their 4th preseason game this year if the CBA was to go through and everything go as we expect it to, which would mean that the Steelers really don't have to plan too much extra, right? This would be a chance for them to kind of just like, hey, you know, still get your young guys out there, get, you know, do some running around, try some new things. You got a new quarterback coach, you know, maybe get Mason Rudolph some more reps. If you draft another quarterback, you could bring them in. If not, you could see about JT Barrett, Paxton Lynch, Devlin Hodges, all those fun things, and see where the offense is. Test out some of your rookies before you send Ben Roethlisberger out there and with the starters in the first major preseason game. So again, we're talking about August 6th, and I apologize. The Centennial Class coaches will be brought in August 8th. So still in the same time frame. It's the Centennial Class players which will be brought in on September 18th. So that's something to consider. Now, there's the NFL is still figuring out a lot of things. They don't announce their schedule usually until April. They'll leak a couple games. They'll leak out usually the Hall of Fame game or, you know, a big name or a big date or something like that if they want to just kind of get the buzz going for, so people can keep talking about it. The NFL knows how to dominate a news cycle. That's just what they do, right? You know, that's part of what we're doing right now. I mean, literally, the scouting combine is on primetime television right now because the NFL knows how to dominate the sports news world. While the NHL is in full swing, the NBA is in full swing, MLB has got spring training going on and everyone's worried about the Astros, but what's happening right now? We're talking about who just ran the fastest 40-yard dash in a drill, who's doing three cone drills. I mean, come on, the NFL, this is just what they do. But knowing now that the Steelers are going to play in the Hall of Fame game, I think this is actually kind of funny because I don't think it'll actually impact them if the CBA goes through and they get one less preseason game, you know, then it's kind of just business as usual, which is the way the Steelers normally like it. So big news there, that the Steelers and Dale Lolley breaking this. I hadn't heard this anywhere else. We had heard that this was likely, but not that this was definite. And now Dale Lolley reporting that it's definite. Also, you got to think this with this, because this, we heard earlier in the offseason that basically the Steelers were going to try and use the Hall of Fame game as a bargaining chip to stay off of HBO's Hard Knocks. Now, some of you as fans may want to see the Steelers on Hard Knocks because you love seeing that access. You want to get closer to your team, but the Steelers don't want that. They don't want cameras all up in their process, all up in their space. They want to keep, you know, themselves behind closed doors. Mike Tomlin's always prided himself. When we're standing outside that locker room after the game, we're not allowed in there while they're talking and they're going over their stuff. It's only until after he breaks the team that we're allowed to go in there and talk to the players. We don't get the access to see his post-game speeches and all the things like that. So we don't know what that's like. I'm sure that the Steelers do not want those kind of HBO cameras with that level of access snooping around camp. Not that they have a whole bunch to hide, but this just that would mess up their process. You're talking about just more distractions. You're talking about, you know, something else getting in the way in a year where they expect a lot to happen with a very young defense that's extremely talented, and, you know, the return of Ben Roethlisberger needing to get the young receivers on track with him. Lots to consider, and I'm sure they don't want to do Hard Knocks. So what way to best offset that? Let's get the Hall of Fame game on our side. It's really going to turn out to not make a big deal because there's going to be three preseason games instead of four, which means you're going to play four instead of five. And then after all of that, if you make the playoffs this year, you're back out of consideration next year to be on Hard Knocks. So looks like a very smart move on the Steelers' part to keep the train on going for them. We'll keep an eye out to see if a team gets announced before the official announcement date where the NFL releases the schedule for the upcoming season. Usually that happens in April, but we'll get to that. Okay, so all that hype I was talking about with the combine, I'm going to talk about that in this next segment. The quarterbacks, receivers, and tight ends did their drills yesterday. Today we got some linemen, we got some running backs. Going to be interesting to see who shines and who doesn't, but I'll be talking about that right after this. All right, let's get to the combine, because there were some interesting developments that happened at the combine. Again, quarterbacks, receivers, tight ends, just interesting drills, you know, that always happen. What I'm going to do is I'm not just going to go over just results. We could talk about numbers. You can see that for yourself. I want to give you how I watch the combine to see if that can help you, because, you know, if I just rattle off stats, that's just going to do what you guys can already do. And a lot of you already do. Again, if you want to join in some of the conversation, we have a lot of Locked On listeners that are loyal to the program and also loyal to the Steelers. If you want to get some of the things that they're talking about, there's a lot of people already posting in our Facebook group some of the things that they like and don't like about certain prospects. You can join that Facebook group by searching Locked On Steelers and, you know, asking to join the group. I'm the admin. I'll add you as soon as I can. and you can get to chatting with them and also expressing your opinion on what these combine players are. If you have your opinion, you want me, you want my insight on different players, hit me up on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. I'll do my best to get back to you with my opinion on different players. I've done a bunch of tape study on a lot of different guys. I've been building up, bigger collections of just things that I like and don't like about different players. But of course I'm not gonna be able to get everybody. I'm doing this, I'm doing DK stuff, I'm doing my day job, so I'm not gonna be able to see every bit of film, but I do keep notes that I hear when I'm studying and things that I've just picked up on. One note that I'm gonna have is talking about the tight ends. The tight ends were kind of exciting yesterday because you had Albert Okwugbunam, a guy who I said reportedly had already interviewed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He ran the fastest time of a 4.49 in the 40-yard dash. Now, that's pretty impressive because he weighs, I think, like 250-ish. He's out of Missouri. He's played SEC ball, so he knows what it's like to deal with the bigger guys and to get physical with people. So that's very exciting, and that's going to move his value up. You had other guys like Bryson Hopkins and Steven Sullivan and Cole Kmet. Not too far, actually they were, there was a good drop off because Bryson Hopkins was the next with 4.66. But I look at tight ends and I'm concerned about which players can be the hybrid of the receiver and the blocker, because there's a lot of guys out there that in today's college football and the way the NFL is going, or in the way all football is going, that people want to just have playmaking tight ends. They want to have the Rob Gronkowski, the guy that goes up and makes the extreme catch and pulls it down, and gets those opportunities. I get that. Everyone wants that. But those don't come around as often, and sometimes when they do, it takes them a few years to figure out how to be that kind of person. Heath Miller is one of the rare examples of when he just came in, he just knew what he had to do, and it worked out for the Steelers. There were some cases like Thaddeus Moss injured his foot, so he couldn't run, which is going to be interesting and to see how that impacts his stock, because a lot of people peg him as a third rounder, a mid rounder. If this bumps him back even further, it means the Steelers might be able to get a prospect there for not having to do a lot to draft him. Thaddeus Moss looks very exciting from some of the college tape he had this year at LSU. He had some great toe taps, some great big plays, and everyone loves to have this guy, or wants to have this guy, because his dad is Randy Moss, who's one of the greatest receivers to ever play the game. But you look at his tape, and you see tight ends are, I want to see how you block. Where are your hands? How do you approach different situations? Are you nasty? Do you look to put people away with your blocks, or are you just trying to do your job? And the difference there is when you're just trying to do your job, you block somebody, but you don't push them into the ground. You don't finish the play. And when you don't do that, you give opponents an opportunity to counter you or to push back and eventually beat you at the point of attack. You don't want that. You want someone that's going to be the person that's the aggressor and puts the guy into the dirt and finishes the play. Get your pancake. Make sure that they're nasty. And it's something that not every player, especially when they have a lot of size or a lot of talent, it's not every player gets that right away. It's something that you kind of have to learn. And I look at some of these tight ends, and there's not a whole lot of that in this class. And I know that we're also talking about just the Steelers needing anybody at tight end, considering Zach Gentry's coming back up. There's a lot to consider there. But keep an eye out for how explosive these tight ends are, how big, how strong their lower bodies are. Cole Kmet really testing well amongst people. You look at the broad jump, 123 inches. That's tied for second among players. You also look at the vertical jump. Cole Kmet led all tight ends with 37. So Cole Kmet having a really strong combine right now. It's just that the tight end position is looked at right now kind of in a weird way by the NFL, because they're expecting the tight ends to kind of be you know, to kind of be those big playmaking wide receivers. But the Steelers are still in the position where they want to run the football, and they want these guys to be really good blockers on the edge. So tight ends are very interesting. Vertical jump, broad jump. The three cone drill is also pretty cool to watch. Adam Trautman had the best time in that. Adam Trautman, a guy I like as one of those playmaker type tight ends, and if he slips into the later rounds, that's where I would take him. You also got your shuttles. The shuttles and the three cones are all about, well, the three cones about how fast you can run this three cone drill. It's about quickness, and how quickly you can turn a corner. It's great for judging edge rushers. Shuttles are about changing up directions and how much ground you can cover while you're changing directions. Not as much for tight ends, but it is a lot for safeties and cornerbacks and linebackers who have to change direction a lot and chase people. But even so, Dalton Keene from Virginia Tech had the best time for the 20-yard shuttle, and looks like they still haven't done the 60-yard shuttle according to the NFL.com's website. But let's get into some of these quarterbacks, because what I don't pay too much attention to with quarterbacks. I look at how they did on the field. I look at what they, how they threw, how they talked about it, what their confidence was. That's the main thing. You know, having a quarterback that runs a ridiculous 40-yard dash time is cool, but you want them that person to be focused. And this year, there were some decent runners. They had Cole McDonald of Hawaii. He ran the fastest 40-yard dash time of any quarterback. But right behind him is the guy that a lot of people are talking about, Jalen Hurts. Ran a 4.59 40-yard dash. He he could be an interesting prospect to take in the middle rounds if he falls. A lot of people are talking about, you know, already like, oh, maybe we should move into running back. Maybe we should move into wide receiver. Like, we haven't just heard this same story with Lamar Jackson. I think it would be a mistake to overlook that, and to not learn from our past lessons. Wherever Jalen Hurts goes, I'm sure he's going to try and find a way to contribute. He's a guy who's found a way to survive, even when getting benched by the mighty Nick Saban, for someone like Tua Tagovailoa, who also will be coming up in this draft, though he won't be participating in these as he's still recovering. But okay, let's get to the group that you're probably all excited about, because this was the group that everyone was talking about. This is the this is the speedster. This is the wide receiver. This wide receiver class is arguably the best wide receiver class that we've seen in a long time, and just how it looks on paper, and it's huge. There's a lot of people there, it's the first time we get to see some of the fastest of the fast get out there and get on the 40-yard dash. That's the one everyone's gonna watch, and it was huge. Now, people look at these 40-yard dash times, and they probably go, "Oh yeah, that guy's fast because he runs a 4.4. He ran a slower 4.4. He was like 4.43. You guys gotta understand, if you're running anywhere close to 4.4 flat, you are lightning in a bottle. You are unstoppable. I don't know how anyone gets to be that fast. Martavis Bryant, for just comparison, ran a 4.42. And he was lightning fast when he got going. But yesterday, we had a receiver not breaking the ultimate record, but he did, get among some of the best ever. It was Henry Ruggs III from Alabama. Got to a 4.27, according to NFL.com. I saw 4.28 was the number that everyone was publishing. So it could be that this is now the official number that the NFL is announcing. But, you know, that's great for him. But here's the problem that I have with just looking at 40-yard dashes and assuming that things are going to be great. Because I look at a lot of these guys, and some of these players that come out of here are fine, guys that had super duper 40-yard dash times, often don't translate to football because they don't know how to slow it down when they need to and use quickness and use people to get them off track. So speed isn't always the best determiner, and if you want If you want an example, go to profootballreference.com right now, and you'll see, and you can set it up yourself. Looking up their combine stats stuff, they let you look at different positions, look at different years, look at different events, really, it's a good tool to have to help you follow everything. Now, I'm gonna read, just to prove my point, I'm gonna read off some of the top 10 fastest times since, how far did I go back? I think I went back to 2007. Yeah, I went back to 2007. These are the fastest wide receiver times. We just talked about Ruggs getting a 4.27. Fastest time ever for a receiver, John Roche, 4.22. It's also the fastest time in combine history. Dree Archer, you guys remember him, 4.26. Marquise Goodwin at number 3 with a 4.27. Got two players at 4.28, such as Jacoby Ford and J.J. Nelson. Mike Thomas, not Michael Thomas, Mike Thomas, getting a 4.3. Yamon Figures from Kansas State getting a 4.3. Darius Haywood-Bey with a 4.3 out of Maryland. And Paris Campbell, a 4.31. Clyde Gates, a 4.31. All this to say, you keep going down this list, there's really, speed isn't the best determiner of how great of a receiver you can be. What determines it is how well you run your routes. How quickly do you get in and out of your breaks. So I'm not tripping over the 40-yard dash in this department, and neither should you. Instead, I would look at how explosive players are, and that's what I can get a lot out of. For example, look at the vertical jump, and not just because you want a receiver jumping really high, but also because that determines how explosive their foot, their lower body is, and how quickly they can get off the ball, and again, how high they can jump for those jump balls. The highest was Donovan Peoples-Jones out of Michigan, but right behind him was Jalen Reagor. And Henry Ruggs III, both tying at 42 inches. Jalen Reagor had a very explosive day at the combine. He didn't run an amazing time in the 40-yard dash, I look at what he was able to do. With the vertical jump, with the broad jump. They had the biggest again was Donovan Peoples-Jones, but right behind him again was Jalen Reagor. It's kind of and Reagor getting 138 inches, Donovan Peoples-Jones getting 139, and the cone drill, which kind of just about working in tight spaces and turning corners. Juwan Johnson came in second there. Denzel Mims out of Baylor. Michael Pittman had a really good time. That's a good sign for him. He's not going to be a burner. He's just a playmaker. You want him being able to turn on a dime there. Michael Pittman, of course, out of USC, is a 6'4" wide receiver that a lot of people have their eyes on in the middle round. A lot of people like the guy. The fastest among the shuttles, Pittman actually also was really close to being first here. Isaiah Hodgins from Oregon State had the best time at 4.12, but Michael Pittman right behind him with a 4.14. I look at these and I look at these types of at the shuttles, and I'm thinking, like, man, I want to see how this player, chases this guy, has to turn around, go that way. And I know that's not as much for receivers, because they're more so, they're the ones setting the tone and setting up for people to chase them. But the faster you are, the better it gets. So wide receiver position wide open right now. You're going to have a lot of people talking about Reagor and his day out of TCU. You're going to have a lot of people talking about Ruggs. If you go back and you watch some of the film, if you want a receiver, you want a guy that's going to get off the ball, and you want a guy who's going to catch with the hands away from the body. And a lot of what happens is a lot of those speedsters, they come to rely on their speed and they start having body catches. They let the ball get to their chest. That's not what you want, because when the ball gets to your chest, you have a much higher rate of dropping. You need to control the ball with your hands, which isn't always easy to do, especially when you're reacting to stuff. But that's part of what has to happen with the wide receiver position, is that, it's not about speed. I mean, Antonio Brown, best receiver I've seen in this generation, wasn't the fastest straight line runner. In fact, there's plenty of testimony about how he used to lose in different races, just for fun, because he's not a straight line speed guy. He's more of a get in your face, outwork you, outshake you, and then when he has the ball in his hand, then he's extremely dangerous. Some people have that talent, some people don't. But that's just that was just the tip of the iceberg with these receivers. We're gonna be comparing once all the results are in. I'm gonna be comparing to like different players historically to give you a better idea of how some of these players are fitting in with their combine performances and how it compares to the others. Again, tune in tonight, NFL Network. If you want more of the combine, running backs are coming up. I expect J.K. Dobbins, if he runs, it's gonna be huge because that guy is a ridiculous athlete. But running backs, got offensive linemen. I think that would be interesting. Keep track of that tonight. And then of course, Saturday will be defensive linemen and linebackers also from I think it's 4 to 11. And then on Sunday, you're going to have all DBs from 2 to 7. Those are the days that you see a lot of athleticism peak out there. So, keep in touch with all that. I'll keep in touch with you guys. Thanks so much for listening to the show. If you're enjoying the show, please hit that subscribe button. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcast, Stitcher, anywhere that podcasts are hosted. If you're loving the show, please, please, please come out here and leave a 5-star review. Those things really help me get the show along. A 5-star review with a positive comment, and I will read your positive comment on air as long as it is safe for work, because I don't want to get anyone in trouble. But thank you so much for all those who do reach out. You guys really do help make the show much, much better and help make the community here of all the Locked On listeners. Got a bunch of loyal listeners here. Again, join the Facebook group, Locked On Steelers. Search it. Join it. I'll get you in there. Follow me on Twitter, at Carter Critiques. I'll be keeping my eye on the combine in case you don't want to, because this is just football drills. So yeah, thanks for listening to the Locked On podcast. Have a great weekend. I'll be back on Monday.